The Lord tells Jeremiah to go to the potter's house and to watch him make a vessel. So Jeremiah does. Now the vessel does not please the potter, so he smashes it and begins his work again. The second creation pleases the potter, and the Lord says to Jeremiah, "Can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as this potter does? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to uproot, to pull down, or to destroy it. If that nation against which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent concerning the calamity that I have planned to bring against it. On another moment, I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to build up and to plant it. But if it does evil in my sight by not obeying my voice, then I will think better of the good which I have promised to bless it. Behold, I am fashioning calamity against you and devising a plan against you. Oh, turn back, each of you, from his evil ways, and reform your ways and your deeds." The Lord tells Jeremiah, "Now buy one of the potter's earthen jars and take it with some of the elders of the people and some of the senior priests and go out to the valley of Beth Hinnom, which is by the entrance of the potsherd gate. And when you are there, tell them, 'Hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. For the Lord God says, Behold, I'm about to bring a calamity upon this place, at which the ears of every one that hear it will tingle, because they have forgotten me and have made this an alien place and have burned sacrifices in it to other gods that neither they nor their forefathers nor the kings of Judah had ever known, and because they have filled this place with the blood of the innocent, and they have built their high places of Baal to burn their sons in the fire as burnt offerings to Baal, a thing which I never commanded or spoke of, nor did it ever enter my mind. Therefore, days are coming when this place will no longer be called Topheth, or the Valley of Ben-Hinnom, but rather the Valley of Slaughter." So the Lord tells Jeremiah to tell this to the people and say, "Just so will I break this people and this city, even as one breaks a potter's vessel, which cannot be repaired." He tells Jeremiah to break the jar inside of the men who accompany him, and that's what he does. The Lord says, "This is how I will treat this place and its inhabitants, so as to make this city like Topheth. The houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the king of Judah will be defiled like this place Topheth, because of the house on whose rooftops they burned sacrifices to all the heavenly host and poured out drink offerings to other gods." Toph means drum. Topheth means drumming. They called that valley the Valley of Drumming because the priest used drums that they beat loudly to drown out the noise of the cries of the children that were human sacrifices to the god Molech in the Valley of Drumming. Well, when Pashur the priest hears Jeremiah's prophecies, Pashur has Jeremiah beaten and put in the stocks that are at the upper Benjamin gate, which is by the house of the Lord. The next day, Pashur releases Jeremiah from the stocks, and Jeremiah says to him, "Pashur, your name means the name of the Lord has called you, but rather your name will be Magar-Missabib, for I am going to make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends, and while your eyes look on, they will fall by the sword of their enemies. So I will give over all Judah to the hand of the king of Babylon, and he will carry them away as exiles to Babylon and will slay them with the sword. I will also give over all the wealth of the city, all its produce and all its costly things, even all the treasuries of the kings of Judah. I will give over to the hand of their enemies, and they will plunder them, take them away, and bring them to Babylon. And you, Pashur, and all who live in your house will go into captivity, and you will enter into Babylon, and there you will die, and there you will be buried, you and all your friends to whom you have falsely prophesied." Now Jeremiah cries out to the Lord because every message that he has delivered is one of doom. All the people hate him, and he feels like he is living a life of shame, and he even asks why he was even born. While Jeremiah is serving the Lord in Judah and Jerusalem, the prophet Nahum begins to serve the Lord and prophesy in Nineveh. Jonah had been there between 808 BC and 805 BC, about 193 years before, and Nineveh had repented when Jonah ministered, but this time things are different. Now, Nahum was born in exile after the fall of the northern kingdom in the town of Elkosh, a village located on the Tigris River. And Nahum's warning is not heeded by the Ninevites, and it is to be totally destroyed after he delivers the Lord's message. The city had been around since the days of Noah leaving the ark at the foothills of the mountains of Ararat, which was about to be destroyed because of her sin. Now, Nineveh has forgotten the Lord and his compassion shown on them when Jonah was there. And several generations have passed since Jonah's visit, and the Ninevites are once again as wicked and brutal as their predecessors. The Lord God has had enough of their mistreatment of his people, and her end is near if she does not change. Well, she does not change. And Nahum speaks of an army that is coming with shields of red. The warriors are dressed in scarlet, and the chariots are enveloped in flashing steel, and the cypress spears are brandished. The chariots will race madly in the streets, and they will rush wildly in the squares. Their appearance is like torches. They dash to and fro like lightning flashes. The gates of the rivers are opened, and the palace is dissolved. It is fixed. She is stripped. She is carried away, and her handmaidens are moaning like the sound of doves beating on their breasts. Though Nineveh was like a pool of water throughout her days, now they are fleeing. Stop! Stop! But no one turns back. Plunder the silver! Plunder the gold! For there is no limit to the treasures. Wealth from every kind of desirable object. She is emptied. The Lord says, Behold, I am against you. I will burn up your chariots in smoke. A sword will devour your young lions. I will cut off the prey from the land, and no longer will the voice of your messengers be heard. Even Thebes and Egypt and Ethiopia and Put and Lubim and Ammon are not any better. They will come to the same fate as Assyria and her capital of Nineveh. Nebuchadnezzar destroys Nineveh in 612 BC for his father Nabopolassar, the king of the Babylonian Empire. From there, Nebuchadnezzar begins a slow march to the west to take over the entire Assyrian Empire. Somewhere back in the southern kingdom, Habakkuk is used by the Lord to prophesy at the same time Jeremiah is prophesying. Habakkuk sees the Babylonian army at the edge of the southern kingdom following their stunning defeat of the Assyrian Empire by the Babylonians, still yet to occur. The southern kingdom is in disbelief that the Lord will send the Babylonians to overthrow Judah or the prized city of Jerusalem. The southern kingdom cries out to the Lord for help, but he does not listen. The approaching Babylonians cannot be stopped. Their mission is ordained by God. Surely the eyes of the Lord are too pure to approve the intentions of this evil Babylonian empire, is Habakkuk's misconception. The southern kingdom's problems include pride, wine, debt, evil gain, bloodshed, adultery, and most of all, idolatry. Habakkuk sings four songs in his prophecies. The first pleads for a revived work in the southern kingdom coupled with mercy. But that will not occur. The second and third songs picture the description of the second coming of the Lord, which is way far in the future. And the fourth pictures the attack of Nebuchadnezzar to destroy Jerusalem. It will occur in 586 BC. For now, Nebuchadnezzar is marching towards Nineveh to start the Babylonian campaign there. In Josiah's 31st year as king, Pharaoh Necho of Egypt is traveling to visit the king of Assyria, Ashur-uballit II, at the Euphrates River in his home in the city of Haran. On the way, he sees Josiah, the southern king, at Megiddo, in the valley of Megiddo, and he kills him there. Josiah is brought back to Jerusalem in a chariot and buried there. Pharaoh Necho continues on to Haran to meet with the Assyrian king. With his father's death, Jehoahaz is made king over the southern kingdom. He is evil. On the way back from Assyria, just 3 months after killing Josiah, Pharaoh Necho places a fine on the southern kingdom of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. He puts Jehoahaz in prison in Riblah, and later Necho takes him down to Egypt where he dies. Necho also makes Eliakim, Josiah's other son, king. Necho changes Eliakim's name to Jehoiakim. He is 25 years old, but he is evil, and he rules under Pharaoh Necho's thumb for 3 years, and under Nebuchadnezzar's thumb for 7 years. The southern kingdom has not fallen to Assyria yet. She has fallen to Egypt. Isaiah's prophecy has come true. He said, "In the valley of decision, all captives together, the defense of Judah and Jerusalem will be removed. All will be cast into a foreign land, and Eliakim made king." Necho has made Eliakim the king and changed his name to Jehoiakim. Isaiah prophesied Eliakim's name by name more than 60 years before Eliakim's birth. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the Lord tells Jeremiah to stand in the court of the Lord's house and to speak to all the cities of Judah who have come to worship in the Lord's house all the words that he's commanded him to speak, and not to omit a single word. Say to them, "Thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me, to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to listen to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I have been sending to you again and again, but you will not listen, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and this city I will make a curse to all the nations of the earth." And the priests and the prophets and all the people hear Jeremiah speaking these words. And when Jeremiah is finished, the priests and the prophets and all the people seize him, saying, "You must die." And when the officials of Judah heard these things, they came from the king's house to the house of the Lord. And they sat at the entrance of the new gate of the Lord's house. And the priests and the prophets spoke to the officials and to all the people, saying, "A death sentence for this man, for he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard in your hearing." And then Jeremiah talks to the officials and to all the people, saying, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that you have heard. Now therefore, amend your ways and your deeds and obey the Lord your God, and the Lord will change his mind about the misfortune which he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am innocent. But you may do what you want. I am in your hands. Do with me what is good and what is right in your sight. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and on the city and its inhabitants, for truly the Lord has sent me to speak to you all these words." So the officials talk it around with the people, and they say to the priests and the prophets, "No death sentence for this man, for he has spoken to us the name of the Lord our God." Then some of the elders of the land rose up and spoke to all the assembly, saying, "Micah prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, and he spoke to all the people of Judah, saying, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, Zion will be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem will become ruins, and the mountains of the house of the high places a forest.' Didn't Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judea put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord and entreat the favor of the Lord? And the Lord changed his mind about the misfortunes which he had pronounced against them. But we are committing a great evil against ourselves. Indeed, there was also a man who prophesied in the name of the Lord, Uriah, the son of Shemaiah. And when he prophesied against the city and against the land, words similar to those of Jeremiah, King Jehoiakim and all his mighty men and the officials heard the words, and the king sought him to put him to death. But Uriah heard it, and he fled and went to Egypt. And King Jehoiakim sent men to Egypt, and they brought Uriah back from Egypt and led him to the king. And the king slew him with a sword and cast his dead body into a burial place of the common people. But Ahikam is there, and he's listening, and he is with Jeremiah, and he is not going to allow them to take Jeremiah and put him to death. The Lord tells Jeremiah to go to the house of the Rechabites and to speak to them and to bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and to give them wine to drink. So Jeremiah takes Jezaniah and his brothers and all his sons and the whole house of the Rechabites and puts them in one of the chambers above the chamber of Messasiah, the doorkeeper of the temple. Jeremiah sets pitchers full of wine and cups, and he says to them, "Drink wine." But they say, "We cannot drink wine. For Jonadab, our father, commanded us, saying, 'You shall not drink wine, you or your sons, forever. You shall not build a house, and you shall not sow seed, and you shall not plant a vineyard or own one. But in tents you shall dwell all your days, that you may live many days in the land where you sojourn.' We have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, our father, in all that he commanded us, not to drink wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, or our daughters, nor to build ourselves houses to dwell in, and we've not had vineyards or field or seed. We have only dwelt in tents and have obeyed and have done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. But when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against the land, we said to ourselves, come and let us go down to Jerusalem before the army of the Chaldeans gets there and before the army of the Arameans, so we will dwell in Jerusalem safely. The Lord tells Jeremiah to tell them, go and say to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction by listening to my words, declares the Lord? The words of Jonadab, which he commanded to his sons not to drink, are observed, so they do not drink wine to this day, for they have obeyed their father's command. But I have spoken to you again and again and again and again, yet you have not listened to me. Also I have sent to you all my servants, the prophets, sending them again and again, saying, turn now every man from his evil ways and amend your deeds, and do not go after other gods to worship them. Then you will dwell in the land which I gave you and to your forefathers, but you have not inclined your ears to listen to me. Indeed, the sons of Jonadab have observed the command of their fathers which he commanded them, but this people has not listened to me. Behold, I am bringing on Judah and on all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the disaster that I have pronounced against them, because I have swore to them, but they did not listen. And I have called them, but they did not answer. So Jeremiah says to all the Rechabites, thus says the Lord God of Israel to you, because you have obeyed the command of Jonadab your father, kept all the commands and done according to all that he commanded you, Jonadab shall not lack a man to stand before the Lord always. By 606 BC, Nebuchadnezzar has captured all of Assyria, the old area of Aram and the northern kingdom, as well as the areas of Ammon and Moab for his father, the king of Babylon. The Assyrian Empire now has faded into history. Nebuchadnezzar skirts around the southern kingdom and Edom and enters Egypt, where he defeats Necho, placing Egypt under Babylonian rule. With that defeat, the rule over the southern kingdom transfers from Necho to Nebuchadnezzar. In that year, Nabopolassar dies and Nebuchadnezzar, his son, becomes the king of Babylon in 606 BC. And on his way back to Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar strips the southern kingdom, telling his chief of officials, Ashpenazah, to bring some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youth in whom there is no defect, and who are good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who have the ability to serve in the king's court. It is the third year of Jehoiakim's reign. Isaiah's words come true, for the people say, oh, that you would come down to make your name known among the nations. You were angry with us when we sinned. All of us withered, but you delivered us. All is wilderness, all is ruin. Will you affect us beyond measure? The cry of the people when Nebuchadnezzar takes over the kingdom. In 605 BC, the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar orders his chief of officials to teach the young men brought from the southern kingdom the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. So the king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice foods and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, and at the end of which they would enter in the king's personal service. Among them are the sons of Judah, which were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them, and to Daniel he assigned the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah he assigned the name Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with that food or that drink. And he sought the permission of the commander not to do so, and God granted him favor with the commander. But the commander was afraid of the king and thought, if you don't eat this food and this drink, then your face is going to look more haggard than all the other youth your age, and the king will have my head for it. And Daniel said to the overseer and to the officials that appointed him, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, said, let's put it to a test for 10 days and give us some vegetables to eat and water to drink, and let's see what the appearance is at the end of the 10 days. And so the test is on. And at the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his buddies looked better than all the other youth, and so the overseer changed all their diets to vegetables and water. And Daniel and the other youth grew in knowledge and wisdom and intelligence, and they stood head and shoulders over all the other youth. The king put them in his personal service, and he sought them out on every matter of wisdom and understanding. And he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and all the conjurers who were in his kingdom.